We're heading over to the Shangri-La Hotel, where U.S. President Donald Trump is, of course, staying. Our correspondent Simon Martz is there joining us live. Simon, earlier we know that Mr. Trump addressed U.S. officials from the embassy here. What did he say?
Well, it's pretty standard practice for the president when he travels internationally to go and speak to American diplomats and staff in whichever countries he's in. And so this was a meet and greet session with embassy staff and State Department Foreign Service officers, in which he thanked them for all the work that they have done to get this summit meeting with Kim Jong-un set up, and thanked them more broadly for the work that they do every single day here in Singapore to advance the course of U.S. foreign policy. President Trump is back in the Shangri-La now. We do not think he's going to be leaving the hotel again tonight. In fact, we don't think that we will see him again until he heads out of here tomorrow morning, heading off, of course, to his 9 a.m. meeting with Kim Jong-un on Sentosa Island. But the meetings that he held with the Prime Minister at the Astana certainly appear to have captured his imagination. On his Twitter account, he tweeted video showing the President of the United States together with the Singapore PM. And that's something that he only does when he has enjoyed the encounter and approves of it. He doesn't always retweet video on a continuing basis. But we're also told that he told the Prime Minister that bringing the summit to Singapore was a choice that we made very consciously. I think things could work out very nicely. We appreciate your hospitality, he said to the PM, and professionalism and friendship. And turning to the PM, he said, "You are my friend." So President Trump clearly grateful to Singapore for all the work that it's done to pave the way for this summit. So what about the nitty-gritty of the meeting that will take place in just a few hours' time between President Trump and Kim Jong-un? We expect to hear a lot more about that within the next 25 minutes or so. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, is preparing to speak to reporters over at the JW Marriott Hotel in South Beach. We'll be carrying those remarks live as soon as the Secretary of State steps up to the podium and makes them. And I think we're going to hear from him a very clear indication that, as far as he's concerned, this summit is about the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. That's something that he pointed out on Twitter first thing this morning. It is something that we believe American interlocutors have been discussing with their North Korean counterparts throughout the day. Much as North Korea may want to talk about other things first, like improved relations between the DPRK and the USA, and then come to the issue of denuclearization, Mike Pompeo is stamping denuclearization all over this summit meeting. And I think when he speaks to reporters a little bit later this hour at the JW Marriott, I think we're going to get a much clearer sense of how those conversations between US and North Korean officials laying the groundwork for tomorrow's summit, how those talks have gone.
Simon, as we wait from U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's press conference, like what you just said, it's just less than 24 hours before the summit between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un takes place. What can we really expect from this summit tomorrow, in line with all the latest developments that we know today?
I think you've got to expect the unexpected, Gerard, especially when it comes to these two very quixotic leaders, President Trump and Kim Jong-un. I mean, they are, both of them, the most unpredictable of leaders of their respective countries. And now that we know that this summit meeting is going to begin with a one-on-one conversation, only Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un and their respective interpreters in the room for at least the start of this summit, then presumably it will get broadened out, and their various national security teams and other advisors will join them in the room. But it's those first few minutes that are going to be absolutely key. President Trump, of course, at the G7 in Canada before he left and headed to Singapore, said that the first minute was critical for him. He said that he would know within a minute of meeting Kim Jong-un whether the North Korean leader was serious about advancing the course of peace. That may be slightly overstating the case. But for President Trump, these relationships with world leaders are all about touch, feel, looking each other in the eye and trying to understand how you get along with the other person and whether you can actually build a relationship based on trust. But some foreign leaders have fallen afoul as a result of that. Remember the French President Emmanuel Macron, who came to Washington, D.C. just a few weeks ago, and President Trump went to Paris, and there appeared to be what the popular newspapers were referring to as a bromance between the two men. Well, that has completely gone off the boil in the course of the last few weeks, to the point where the U.S. relationship with France and with other European allies and with the Canadians now seems to be shredded after the G7 summit. So if you're Kim Jong-un, how do you go into this meeting with Donald Trump and build a relationship based on trust? Trust is a two-way street, regardless of the two personalities in this particular meeting, and it will be very, very interesting to see how these men get along and what demeanor President Trump cuts at this summit meeting, given that he is meeting the leader of a reclusive, brutal, repressive communist regime in North Korea.
All right, we'll just have to wait and see. Thanks, Simon. That was our correspondent, Simon Marks, reporting to us live in front of the Shangri-La Hotel, where U.S. President Donald Trump is staying.